Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Merle Exit. It's a sunny day here in New York City in the afternoon. It's 2 p.m. right now on my time, and I got a show. Oh, wow. I have to tell you, for people who travel, have you ever lost your luggage or not you lost it, the plane lost your luggage? And they always say, okay, you know, we'll let you know within 48 hours or something like that. Now, you don't want to really go out and buy, you know, all kinds of stuff because you may have enough clothing. So what do you do? What does a hotel do for you? They can send you to the gift shop, or sometimes behind the desk they'll say, well, we can give you this little tiny toothpaste, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I went to this hotel, a boutique hotel in St. Louis, which is the topic for our show today. And the boutique hotel is not one that's fancy, but one of the things is that nothing could be a problem with the service. So right now I'm going to begin the show with John Dalton, who's the general manager of Hotel Ignacio. John, you there?
I am certainly here. It's also a sunny day in St. Louis, Missouri, and we have a little advantage over New York is that we have the World Series Game 2 playing this evening in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, I watched it purposely, watched some of the game yesterday just so I could be in, you know, hook up with you guys. And to
excellent.
Know what
thank
you're thrilled
you.
About. So I want to get into the talking about this hotel. And the thing I want to first discuss is your whole idea of why you do what you do, and then we'll go into the decor.
Certainly. You can start any place you'd like.
Well, what I want to begin with is this whole idea of the service, the thing that caught my attention, I have to tell everybody, was that they have a list of things in the in case you forget list, and I looked on the list and I went, socks? They'll give you socks? And I thought, yeah, you know, probably the thing you put on that you wear for the plane. And it happened, I needed a pair of socks, and there were socks. They were the kind that, I guess, for tennis shoes. Is that how you would describe those kind of socks?
I think I would describe them. We have a few different types of socks at our front desk at all the time. We have men's dress socks, because sometimes men forget to bring socks. And we have good cotton socks as well that you can wear with running shoes or something that you wear during the day. And then we also have some pantyhose and knee-high stockings.
Wow. So just and before I get into that entire list, I want to explain. Let's explain the hotel. I want to first share what my experience was, and then we'll go into all this. Now, the first thing, aside from the wonderful decor, there's like art all over the place. But the thing is, the first thing is the key card.
Yes, yes.
And I looked at it and I went, where do you put it in? Now, you know what it is with key cards. Did I put it right? Is it upside down? Is it this? Is it that? You can be drunk with this one. Because it's like there's a circle. And you just take it.
There's a circle. It is a technology that you wave it in front of the circle, and it magically opens the door.
Oh, well, you could wave it, too?
Yes.
I thought you had to actually take it and put it up against it.
No, you can.
You don't even have to do that?
No, you just have to get within 2 inches of it, and you can keep it in the little card case as well, so it never has to come out of the card case if you don't want it to.
Oh, my God. This way you'll also remember your room number.
Exactly.
Okay. So that... Now, when this was designed, this particular thing, is this like one of the only hotels that has this? This is something I've never seen.
It's a newer technology, and one of the beautiful things about building, we used an existing building, which was nice to repurpose the space, but we had this great ability to kind of do things a little bit differently. Since we're a boutique hotel, we're not part of a brand, obviously, and we were allowed to do a lot of things that sometimes the larger brands put greater restrictions on. So this RFP technology that we've got with the keys was one of the many things that we decided was important. And it was important for a few reasons. First of all, we have a great technology statement, and I know we're going to talk about a few of those other things that we've got in the hotel.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But it also kind of fits with the design, and it is a much more secure system, and we never have to worry about those cards sometimes wearing out because they are reused quite a bit. These do not wear out, so sometimes you check into a hotel, you go up to your room, it's late at night, and you swipe the key, and it doesn't work, and you have to go back to the front desk to have another key made. That doesn't really happen with this system, so it works all the time.
That's fabulous. In terms of this particular technology, do you know, is there maybe a handful of hotels that are doing this, or...
I think newer hotels are looking at it, and I think there are some newer hotels that have decided to put the technology in place. But like with most technology, we only have 49 rooms and 2 suites, so the overall cost of this system for us was not as hard to swallow as it is for a Bahamas hotel with 1,000 rooms in it.
Oh, okay. Okay. So now the next thing, so I come into the room, and the first thing, there's the bathroom, and I, you know, go in to kind of look, and I see the drinking glasses, and I went, and I looked, I went, they must change them every day. How do I know? The day is written on the glass. Who decided
on
that?
I was a business traveler for many years, and I certainly was always questioning whether or not the glasses in my room were clean, and I thought, how could I ensure people, without having a huge impact on the environment by putting plastic glasses or wrappers around them or anything else? So we came up with the idea to imprint the day of the week on the glasses. So if you check in on Thursday morning, your glass is going to say Thursday on it, and if you stay over Friday night, Friday, you're going to have fresh glasses that are Fridays printed on.
And that was something I thought that was a hoot. When I looked at it first, I thought, maybe it's a coincidence that it's the same day. Well, then when I noticed the next day, I went, well, look at that. Now you know they changed the glasses. So I thought that was pretty good. So the next thing I did, I said, okay, I need to try out the bed. And I went, wow, this bed seems to be different from most of the beds that I've gone, you know, on any kind of hotel. And it turns out Tempur-Pedic.
Yes.
Now.
Tempur-Pedic.
Now, what made you decide on the Tempur-Pedics?
Well, we already decided that I have a few germ issues. I think you and I discussed that. And
right.
Tempur-Pedic mattresses, because of the material that they're made from, do not allow the growth of dust mites or bed bugs. So it is a very environmentally green-friendly mattress because it doesn't allow those things to grow on the surface. And in addition to that, Tempur-Pedic mattress is the most recommended bed in America, and we're the only hotel in the state of Missouri that has Tempur-Pedic mattresses in it.
Wow,
I took it one step a little bit further, and
yeah.
We use bamboo sheets and towels in all of our rooms. Now, bamboo, most people, when not experienced with it, they think it's rough and coarse like hemp, but it's not at all. It's incredibly soft, but it's also naturally antimicrobial. And what that means is when you couple the wonderful Tempur-Pedic mattress with the naturally antimicrobial sheets, you really get a very sanitary bed all the time. In addition, to go to the green statement, the bamboo is a totally renewable resource, and when you're washing it, it does not require harsh chemicals like bleach or bluing or additives in order for it to be cleaned.
That's fantastic.
And I probably didn't tell you this when you were here because I have to save some things for the radio show. But
yeah.
How did you like the pillows and the comforter?
Oh, God. They're really cushiony. Really good.
The pillows and the comforters, the fill inside of both of those are recycled water bottle content.
You're kidding.
No, they take water bottles that need to be recycled, sanitize them, obviously, shred them into really very thin strands, like human hair strands of a material, and then they use that to stuff the pillows and the bedspreads with, so you get this really great green statement, and because of the type of plastic that's used inside of water bottles, because they're made for food service, they also do not allow the growth of bacterias.
Now, I would imagine that wouldn't be comfortable.
But you are the testimony, correct?
Huh? I'm sorry?
You have the testimony that says they are comfortable.
Yes, that's why when you're saying what's in there, I'm going, what? I thought it was... that I would have never guessed that. Absolutely.
We try not to tell too many people about it until they experience it, because I think it's really it's something that people have to try and have an open mind and realize that there are a lot of choices that anybody makes, any hotel makes or any business makes. And we tried to make some choices that, first of all, were very green and very environmentally friendly, because we have a responsibility to our neighborhood as well as, you know, the world. And then in addition to that, we tried to seek out items that had some natural antimicrobial or preventative device that kind of didn't allow molds and spores and bed bugs to grow.
Wow, that's great. I want to comment, and this is, I have a problem with hotels in that when I go on a press trip and I come home, and then I get a cold or I get something, and I notice that, like when I wake up in the morning at a hotel, it's like, is the air conditioning on? Is it, why do I have trouble breathing here? You know, that kind of thing. And that, I never had such a great night's sleep.
wonderful. That's because...
Yeah.
The mattresses and the sheets and the pillows and the fabrics don't allow the growth of dust mites.
Wow, that's great. Now, the thing I want to get to next, of course, I looked on the desk, and there was this clock. And I went, well, that's interesting. It's a pretty big digital clock. They must really want to make sure, you know, what time it is, I suppose. And I just kind of walked over, and I just happened to touch it. And all of a sudden, became an iPad.
Exactly. We partnered with Avaya. Avaya is a huge telecommunications company, and they had approached me about a year ago. They had a new product that they wanted to unveil. There were five of them in the world, none of them in North America, and they wanted Hotel Ignacio to be the first hotel to actually use this. So what it is, an iPad, I think, is a good way to say it. It's very much like an undersized iPad. It's a touch screen, and you can access all the information about the hotel. You can look at different restaurants in the neighborhood. You can look at video tours. You can make wake-up calls on it. It works as a telephone, as a speakerphone, or a handheld device. And it kind of brings all of these things together. And the few nice things about it, in addition to being very technologically savvy and new and exciting and the first one in North America, it also really goes to our green statement. Instead of having to clog up your desk with all this printed material, room service menus, restaurant menus, information about the hotel, we don't have to print any of that. So we have it right in front of you. And going back again to my germ issue, which I always go back to, the speakerphone on the iPad is built in, and the flat screen is very easy to sanitize. Traditional phones are very difficult to sanitize because if you use steam cleaning, you obviously mess up the electronics. But this is a very clean, sealed screen, so it gives us the ability to hit on the technology, hit on the green statement, and also kind of give me a little bit of comfort with my germ issues.
Wow. How do you clean it?
Well, actually,
and I'm asking this also because on my computer screen, like, I don't know how to clean it.
We have a special product and a special type of cloth rag that we use just for these telephones, just for the media hub, and it sanitizes it instantly and cleanly and easily. And it's the pad itself is only 6 inches by 8 inches, so it's a pretty easy surface to clean for us.
That's great. So this way you know. You know, it that's clean. Oh, I didn't even notice the. I don't know how much I even watched the TV. You have the flat screen TVs.
We have the flat screen TVs
on the wall,
and over that we have these Frame My TV pieces. So when you walk into the room, it looks like this beautiful mirror that's beautifully framed is on the wall, and when you turn the TV on, the mirror disappears and the television comes on.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that. You said all the rooms don't have it yet, right?
The room that you were in didn't have it because we had a little technical glitch with one of the frames because this is a new concept for hotels. But most of the rooms do have that, and by the end of October, I'm sure that they'll fix their little glitch and every room will have it. And it's in most of our pictures that are on our website.
Oh, okay. So when I return next year, I'll see that then, huh?
In June, yes, I'm seeing
yes.
you in June.
So now the next thing that I want to get into, because as I was looking on the, and I'll call it the iPad, what do you call it, the media?
Media Hub.
Media Hub, okay. So I was looking on that, and it was the, not the in case you forget, what was the terminology?
I think it's things you need.
Things, okay. And I just like, okay, let's see. Okay. You tell me the list.
Oh, the list? Let me see. We talked about socks and pantyhose. We have underwear, feminine products. We have mouthwash, toothbrush, toothpaste, shower caps, sewing kits, nail files, clippers, cough drops, chapstick, mints, Motrin, Tylenol, shaving cream, razors, lint removers, playing cards, eye-class repair kits, tweezers, bandages, deodorant, contact solution, and the little holders, hairspray, bug spray, condoms, and pre-dampened shoeshine bars. And that came from, you know,
yeah.
we are a boutique hotel, and we have to be a little bit different than, you know, what everyone else is doing, and there are beautiful hotels throughout the world. But we thought to ourselves, anybody can send somebody to Macy's or to the local Rite Aid store to pick these things up. But we thought we had an ability to provide a service to people because every once in a while people do forget things, and they don't always have the luxury of time to jump into a taxi cab and go a few blocks away and go to the drugstore to pick up a nail clipper or pick up whatever else they need and come back. So we decided that part of our service standard would be that we'll have some things that people sometimes need, and we'll just keep them available.
Now, there were two other things on the list that that I happened to go for. One of them was which? Refrigerator.
Yes. We do not put refrigerators or coffee makers in our rooms, but we've got refrigerators and coffee makers available for anybody that wants one. And that's two issues, really, Merle. The first issue is, in a hotel like ours, if we kept 49 refrigerators running all day and all night, we obviously have a negative impact on the environment because sometimes people don't use them. So instead, if somebody wants one, we put it up in the room. There's no charge for that. And with the coffee machine, going back to my bizarre germ issues, we actually sanitize those every day because we only use a few of them every day, and we have the ability to take them out of the room, to completely steam clean them, and then put them back in the room so we can assure that they're absolutely spotlessly clean and sanitized.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I'm not a coffee drinker. I just thought, okay, if you want coffee, just any time of the day, just go into the lobby.
We have it in the lobby as well. We're using Caldi's Coffee, which is a local roaster of coffee, and they use fair trade practices. And they were just named one of the top five coffees in the country.
Wow. Jeez. Then there was also the other thing, a sleep machine.
We have sleep machines. We're very fortunate to be in a neighborhood that's not very noisy at night. About a block away, we have a lot of activity going on in Grand Center, but exactly where our hotel is, it's a little bit quiet, and the rooms are fairly well sealed, and the windows are not able to be open, so the rooms are pretty quiet, but sometimes people need a little noise. So we decided to get some sleep machines, which play different types of noises in case somebody needs a little background noise to go to sleep.
You know, and the funny thing is, I said, oh, let me get that because after not sleeping too well, I'm going, at least that'll help. And not realizing it, that the bed was the Tempur-Pedic bed, and I'm going, and you know that I got up in the morning, I'm going, wow, that sleep machine really, really works. I can't believe it. I mean, wow. I didn't realize how much I need the white noise. Not really, of course, not knowing what the bed was made with. And by the way, you know, had I known, I would have had it set up to have some, you know, photo of somebody looking like they're jumping on the bed with a glass of wine on the other side of the bed to just, you know, show it's a Tempur-Pedic bed. But the thing is okay, so here was the other thing. Okay, so here's the next thing about it. So one of my concerns was I had gone, I was in Alton, Illinois, for a couple of days, and then coming to St. Louis. And I went, you know, I really would like to, like, wear, you know, get my clothes laundered. I don't know whether there's enough time, if we have to go out or whatever. Yeah, you do that too.
Yes, we do.
Unless it's dry cleaned.
Well, we send out dry cleaning, but occasionally...
And that you have to charge for.
We do have to charge for that, so we send that out. But occasionally people come, and like I've said, they're busy, and they don't have time to wash it themselves and dry it themselves, and they don't want to spend a fortune, you know, kind of sending a few pairs of socks and underwear out. So we decided that we have a little washer and dryer down in the basement, and every once in a while we are able to just kind of throw something in the washer and dryer for people, and that's worked out pretty nicely.
I thought that was great. I did that once. And I go back. I go back up to my room, and there's the bag. And I open the bag. I go, oh, they forgot my pants and the shirt. And I went, wait a minute. Open up the closet door. It's hung up.
Well, good.
I went, well, that's service.
Well. Did you happen to use any of the Kindles?
The what? The Kindle?
Kindles. You know, in the lobby of the hotel, we only get one of each newspaper delivered every day because of our green statement. But we have ten Kindles that are available at the front desk, and there's no charge. You can just check them out, And we have 65 different publications on the Kindle, so people can read the New York Times, the Financial Times.
Oh, my God, I didn't know that.
Yes, ma'am.
That's something. With the itinerary we had, there would have been there was no time for me to even read a newspaper. But that's okay. But that's fantastic. And I was also appreciative that in the lobby you could use the internet.
Yeah, well, we have free wireless throughout the entire building, and it's extremely high speed. We have St. Louis University right across the street, and they allow us to use their high-speed internet. So no matter how many people are ever using the internet and how much bandwidth they're using, they can never use what St. Louis University gives us. It's just way too big. So that's kind of a fantastic thing. We also have cabled internet service available in every room as well, and we don't charge for either one of those.
Wow. Then also the other, and I have to call this, it was very weird. As I'm walking in the, let's call it the living room area. Is that a good way to call it?
Sure,
the living room area.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. As I'm walking by, I hear somebody calling my name. I'm going, where the heck? And I turn and I look, and the person says, I'm in the bathroom. And I went, the bathroom? What do you mean you're in the bathroom? And I look and I see this person, like they're washing their hands. And I'm like, what the heck? Explain that whole thing with the bathroom.
The hotel was designed by the Lawrence Group. And the Lawrence Group is a very prestigious architectural firm here in St. Louis. And I think what most people say, and you know what I've seen people say about the hotel, is they don't expect for the hotel to be as contemporary and as hip as it is. And that's a beautiful, compliment to the Lawrence Group, because I think they've created a very New York or San Francisco-style hotel in St. Louis.
Well, the thing is about with the bathroom, so people understand what I'm talking about, is that instead of, like, you know, and you go and either there's one, two, three, you know, that it's like, no, they're not, what would you call them? They're private.
They're closets. They're sealed sliding doors, and it's pretty spacious because it meets the ADA requirements. So they're 8 foot around, and they're unisex. So you kind of go into whatever one is available. And from the living room, through a small hole in the wall, you can actually look through and see what's going on in the living room.
And so what happens is that where you're washing your hands afterwards is like that's where, you could see through into the living room area. So you stand there washing your hands and, you know, people are walking by and that's when you can go, hey, hello, you know. I love what's in front of it, with the instruments.
You like that? You know,
yes.
We decided when we built the hotel, we're in the arts district of St. Louis, and we have a lot of great theaters and museums and performing arts centers in our neighborhood. So the hotel is built in four different themed rooms, and it's not an obvious theme. We've tried to use small architectural details to kind of talk about each theme, but it's performing arts, fine arts, architecture, and music. So the big headboard over your bed is this huge plexiglass picture of one of those themes. And then in the lobby, we have musical instruments, and we have great literary books, and we've got great architectural effects, I guess, from St. Louis as well, which is a great architectural city.
And that whole trip was like, really wonderful, just a fabulous trip. Tourism does such a wonderful job of putting it together. Everybody knows what they're doing. Thank
you. Well,
goodness.
I will tell you, I think they do a wonderful job of putting it together, but I also think that they've got a great thing to show. I'm a New Yorker by birth, but I moved to St. Louis 25 years ago, and I decided after I retired a few years ago to stay in St. Louis because it is such a dynamic, wonderful city, and when this job came about, I decided that this is what I'm going to do for the next 20 years.
I don't blame you. As I said, if it wasn't for the heat, I wouldn't be able to stand the heat. If it wasn't for the heat, that's a place I would move to. Because it has, it's the first place, I have to tell you, first place where I would say I don't miss New York.
Wonderful.
That I've seen that has, like, everything I would want that New York has. Not as crazy as New York.
I think also something to say about St. Louis, it's a very accessible city. And we have a lot of wonderful museums and wonderful restaurants and wonderful theaters, but you actually can comfortably go to any one of them. And I think you realize when you stayed here that when you stay in a small boutique hotel in our neighborhood, we have access to everything. So we really, you don't need to worry too much about keeping your day pretty full when you stay with us because we can set up just about anything you'd like to see.
Yeah, and by the way, and your staff is wonderful too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, we're right across from St. Louis University, and I thought it would be the right move to get these nice young kids to work in the hotel, teach them an industry. A lot of them are liberal arts majors, and we all know what the big controversy right now over liberal arts is that sometimes people can't find jobs. But they all come here, they work between 8 and 12 hours a week because they still have school and their studies. But when they come to work, they're excited to be here, they're focused on what they're doing, and we try to first hire nice people. And I think we've done a pretty good job with that. They're very nice.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have. They're all. It's like I want to take them home, all of them. You know,
don't take them home if they're working for me, okay?
Yeah, it's like when I say I want to take them home, meaning that I want to wake up in the morning and get these personalities in front of me instead of like, oh, here we go. I hate this. It's going to be a day in New York City and, you know, these people are growling at each other, blah, 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 you know, kind of thing. Oh, God. But, I forgot to mention you have a cafe. You have a place that it's just for breakfast, I believe. Is it just for breakfast?
Well, we've got a little cafe, and we've been kind of working with that a little bit and trying to figure out what people want and need because we're right next door to a beautiful restaurant, Triumph Grill, and we've got a few other great restaurants in the neighborhood. So our little cafe serves breakfast. It serves a light lunch. And I think we just decided very recently that we're going to just make it a little wine bar. Because it really is situated well for a wine bar. We have a beautiful outside patio with a beautiful fireplace as well. So it's a simple cafe because there are a lot of great restaurants in the neighborhood.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one night we did go out and sit in front of the... it just got a little chilly. And so we went out and sat in front of the fireplace and hung out for a little while. And, when I say we, I was on a press trip, so in case my... my listeners want to know who we are. So that was really nice. Yeah, I took advantage of having, like nightcaps and things like that, and not just to schmooze, you know, before going
exactly.
to sleep. You know, talk about the day and the things we saw as I'm waiting for Donna to call in to tell us all about it. The game is tonight, you said?
Game two is tonight.
Is tonight. So the excuse of the game is on and I can't talk to you now doesn't work then, huh?
No, it does not. The game is on at 7:05. Actually, I was here last night and we won. So I got one of those college kids, and I told him to go to White Castle and get a whole bunch of burgers so that everyone coming back from the game would have something to eat when they got here. So you missed the White Castles.
That's really, And of all things, White Castle, I used to call them belly bombs.
I think we still call them belly bombs.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. It's like, it's almost like, and I have to say, it's like the worst thing for your stomach. Because with the onions and stuff like that. But they're so good.
Well, you know, Merle, I'm a chef by trade, right?
I didn't know that.
I went to the Culinary Institute 30 years ago. And I'm going to tell you a little something that's kind of interesting. White Castles have the same exact ingredients that pâtés have.
Really?
Meat, onions, and panada are bread. So if you took a White Castle and you threw a little bit of brandy or wine in it and stuck it in your Cuisinart, you wouldn't be too far away from having pâté, quite honestly.
All right, I'm going to do something. I'm getting a call in. It could be Donna on my regular phone. I'm going to just hit a commercial and then
okay.
get right back. So
Excellent. Hang
on there, okay?
I'll be here.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Okay, and...
What would you do?
Oh, no, I just played that. and by the way, I just want to put out, you can get these... No, I'm not putting out. I just want to say, rather, that you can get these brownies at www.brownies.com. Okay. So, and let's get back to the show. What happened, by the way, is that Donna called my home phone number, and that's why I had to, you know, put you, like, sort of on hold. But you're back
gotcha.
There.
Well,
back.
I'm still here. This is John.
Yes. Well, Donna's calling in now, but I can have both of you on at the same time, and John, that you could, like, Donna, John is on.
Hi.
Hello, Donna.
Hello. John who?
Dalton.
Dalton.
Hey, okay, great. This is wonderful.
St. Louis isn't that big. You know more than one John?
That's right. In my little world, I do.
And you've probably gone to more than one John, I suppose.
No! Stop, Merle.
Ladies.
Hey.
Well,
this is a family show.
It's not a family show. I don't know whose family it is, but we just finished talking about the hotel. And I got to tell you, Don, I mean, he was telling me more than I thought I knew at all about the hotel.
That's right,
just,
see?
I am amazed. I am so totally amazed because it's like, my God, it's like, can't every hotel be like this? You know?
Isn't it beautiful? It's like one of my favorite hotel properties in St. Louis, and I love it. You know, when I was touring it for the first time, I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to stay here. I just got to stay here. And then all the writers that are – yeah, I have to stay there.
Have you stayed there yet?
No.
Donna?
I've been too busy touring journalists all throughout St.
Louis. you have to stay a night because you're going to flip out and say, oh, my God. You're kidding. I mean,
well, this
like,
is living. I love the restroom. I know that for sure.
but this whole thing, when I got up the first morning, I got up and I went, wow, thank goodness for those sleep machines. I finally got a good night's sleep.
Good for you.
They're really
good
great,
you.
Except it wasn't the sleep machine. It was the Tempur-Pedic bed.
Ooh. Hey, John, you guys have Tempur-Pedic beds over there?
Yes, we do. The only hotel in Missouri to have Tempur-Pedic beds.
Oh, my gosh. That's a nice selling point there, buddy.
The whole thing, everything about it. And, like, you don't have to worry about germs.
No, you don't.
No.
At all. With I mean, what
what John was explaining. Okay, Donna, we have to have Donna stay a night there so she could really get a
No,
sense.
I can't. Well, I'm going to do that personally. Yeah, I'm going to do that personally.
Oh, okay. Because this is really, I want to say, to die for, to live for.
Good, thank you.
I love the hotel for the art. I love the way it's set up. I love its location. It's easily accessible to a lot of things to do in St. Louis. It's one of the newest properties in St. Louis, so that's a plus for me. So, you know, this is just Hotel Ignacio is representative of all the great different properties that you can experience in St. Louis. It's a really great experience.
Well, so now I'm going to get John. I'm going to let you go so Donna can talk about the trip.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Merle. I'll look forward
to
maybe seeing you over the holidays, but definitely in June.
Okay, great.
Have a good day. Bye, Donna.
Bye.
Oh, God. Anyway,
yeah.
So now what I want to do is, because I know you only have half an hour. Okay.
Well, now 20 minutes because I got it go. Is that like 1:41?
Oh, okay. So,
and 30 seconds.
Let's get into the places. Kind of briefly, like in terms of like we went to the art park. Is that what it was called? No. Let me see that. Where they had the.
Yeah, I know one thing. You had a jam-packed itinerary.
The City Garden. That's the one.
Oh, City Garden. I love City Garden. It's in downtown St. Louis, our urban oasis. It opened in 2009 when we had the All-Star Game here in St. Louis. And it's about two, three blocks long. And it's a great urban oasis and water features, large-scale sculptures, full-grown trees that they flew in so that we didn't have to wait for a City Garden to grow. They actually planted very mature shrubberies. And it's become like a meeting spot in downtown St. Louis, and we're very proud that it's been added to our list of attractions to do in St. Louis and free.
That's nice. It's a good, it's a nice outdoor kind of thing, being in downtown. And we went to the Arch, the famous Arch.
Yeah, the Gateway Arch. It's on the grounds of the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial. It's our icon. The World Series is going on right now, and you're seeing lots of pretty shots of St. Louis. And what's that thing on the riverfront? It's the Gateway Arch, and that is our signature. That's our icon. Everyone identifies St. Louis with the Gateway Arch. 630 feet of stainless steel. You can take tram rides to the very top, you know, get a great shot of St. Louis' skyline at the very top of the observation deck, or you can see the great state of Illinois on the east side and the Mississippi River flowing below.
That's fabulous. And by the way,
I guess you know what? I think your list is to know that even though it's a ticketed cost to go to the top of the Gateway Arch, they do have a free museum, the Museum of Worship Expansion underneath the Gateway Arch, and that covers 100 years of St. Louis's history. So anyone, if you have a problem with heights, you know, that's fine. Go touch the arch at least, and then maybe take in the free museum that's underneath the Gateway Arch.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Well, but you're taking an elevator first to where they get the tram, right?
What you do, you take, there's a tram system, and you walk like down a short flight of steps, and then you come upon a pod system. There are like 8 cars, right? We'll call them cars. And each car holds 5 people. It looks like a space capsule, and it takes 4 minutes to get up, and it's just 3 minutes down. And when you get to the very top, the doors open. You walk up a short flight of steps. And then there you are. You're at the observation deck. There's a park ranger up there to answer any questions. It's a great photo opportunity. You're 630 feet above St. Louis, and, you know, you can spend as much time as you want and then just head on down.
Okay. Then we went to, let's see, there was the, we went to 2 art museums.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Merle, but wouldn't you say that St. Louis, I think our cultural scene is like really, really, it's like on fire right now with all of the theaters opening and all the art galleries that are available to people. I really think our cultural scene is something to be proud about here in St. Louis.
Oh, I even commented that if it wasn't for the heat, I'd move to St. Louis.
Thank you.
Because I wouldn't miss New York City of what New York City has to offer because you have enough to offer.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
So in terms of what the how did they we saw the St. Louis Art Museum is more what would you say the contemporary or the now how would you call that as
I would call it
to,
that actually it has the St. Louis Art Museum has a mix of everything. It has classical art, it has modern art, it has contemporary art, Egyptian, all of it. You know, in St. Louis Art Museum, that's where you find there's a little bit of everything for anything for anybody. That's the St. Louis Art Museum, and it's located in Forest Park, and I should say, reference the 1904 World's Fair, because I can never do an interview without mentioning the fair. And the art museum is the only structure left. It was a permanent structure made in 1904, and it's the only remaining structure left to the 1904 World's Fair, which was held in St. Louis in Forest Park.
Now, then also in terms of, the park is a whole long thing to talk about.
I know.
There was also, wait a minute. Oh, the botanic, you know, and I have to tell you something. I was looking at my notes from when I met you the first time.
Aww.
And we visited the botanical gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All I seem to remember is the arch and the candy.
I love that combination.
So the botanical gardens, which we kind of like didn't just had enough time. That's pretty large.
Actually, it's 79 acres. It's one of the top gardens of its kind in the world, and we're very proud about it. And 79 acres, you can take a tram ride through the garden area. There's a children's special garden area. It looks like a giant treehouse, and the botany is all explored in a really fun, interactive way. And then there's a Chinese garden, a German Strassenfest garden, an English garden. But our pride and joy in the Missouri Botanical Garden is the nation's largest Japanese garden. I'm very proud about that. It's quite beautiful. And our garden is a garden for all seasons, and the Japanese garden was designed to be its most beautiful in the winter. So I think it's timely that you're talking about it since we're moving into the winter months. If you're heading to St. Louis, you know, stop by and see our beautiful Japanese garden in the Missouri Botanical Garden. And then there's the house of garden founder Henry Shaw, which is Tower Grove, and you can tour that home. Then there is a maze, a Victorian maze, and then they have other gardens, tulips, roses. There's even this giant climatron, which is a rainforest, and all the plants that thrive in that kind of environment. So it's a great experience at the Missouri Botanical Garden, and it's one of our top attractions in St. Louis. And if you're heading our way, after you take a tram ride to the top of the Gateway Arch, then you probably want to include the Missouri Botanical Garden on your agenda.
Now, also, there was another garden. There was a sculpture garden.
Lawmeyer. See, you know, the great thing about St. Louis is there's something in every corner. You know, not everything is just jam-packed in downtown St. Louis. Because as you noticed, you know, we have a St. Louis city, and then we all have a St. Louis county. And so there are plenty of attractions in the St. Louis county, and Lawmeyer Sculpture Park is that. You know, it's about 100 acres and of trails, walking paths. But the thing about Lawmeyer Sculpture Park is they have these monumental type of sculptures that provoke conversation and interpretation. And it's located in West County, and it's only about 15, 20 minutes from downtown St. Louis. And it's just a hidden gem, you know, out in West County, and we're very proud of it. It's actually right down the street from the Magic House, St. Louis Children's Museum, which is another top museum in the country. So, and you'll see that the theme for this interview is we are among the top in the country in terms of attractions. And I'm sure of other attractions that you destinations that you interview, they say the same thing. But you know what? I'm speaking the truth.
I would be sending everybody there. That's okay.
Yeah, you know, it's a wonderful destination, and you can easily spend, you know, we're a destination you can visit over and over again because there's just so many different things that you can do. You know, gaming scene, you know, if you're into that, you know, history, the attractions, family friendly, girlfriends getaway, grandparents getaway. We're just a very well-received type of destination. And when the recession hit, you know, St. Louis kind of like stayed above water. It's because we are family-friendly and affordable and centrally located as a destination. And people just and we're very drivable, too. So a lot of people headed our way. You know, each year we see about 22, a little over 22 million visitors each year. And so, you know, we're not trying to be Chicago. We're not trying to be the great New York or beach kind of cities, destinations, or Las Vegas. St. Louis is what it is, and that is a family-friendly destination, and that's what we promote, and that's what we're proud about.
Yeah. well, I definitely see that. I had to talk on the Hill about the Hill.
I love the Hill.
I did that whole
some great
thing.
Food.
You know.
That's a great neighborhood. The Hill in St. Louis is our predominantly Italian neighborhood, and it just seems like there's a great restaurant, deli, or whatever, you know, right on any corner in the Hill. The bakery. Oh my God, that's where you can find some of our St. Louis signature foods, being toasted ravioli and gooey butter cake. You know, and did you try toasted ravioli, Merle?
Oh, I was at one place and I had it, yes.
Yes. Let me describe what toasted ravioli is, because people are probably saying, ugh, what's that? Well, first of all, it is ravioli that is seasoned to perfection. Then it is stuffed with a beef and veal mixture, not toasted in the oven like a piece of bread. It is deep fried, because we love deep fried here in this area of the country. And then it's deep fried to a golden brown consistency. You yank it out, then you dip it in marinara sauce, and you're addicted, just like that. And that can be found in any restaurant, practically any restaurant on the Hill. Then another one is a gooey butter cake. That is a street.
I didn't have that. That's what I wanted to have.
Really? Oh, man. I got to send you one. Yeah, it's a gooey butter cake. It's a sweet treat here in St. Louis. It's a coffee cake. Really simple ingredients, you know, like Philadelphia cream cheese, condensed milk, you know, real butter. Really simple. But it is so good, you know, and it's here in St. Louis.
I'm
going
to remind you to send me one.
Exactly, and there's lots of areas where you can buy gooey butter cake.
Yeah.
But I like, you know, we have one member called Gooey Louie here in St. Louis, and that's where you can find like a variety of different gooey butter cakes. You know, you can get the traditional, or you can get something a little funky and fun. You know, like strawberry or chocolate and vanilla or chocolate chip or blueberry. They can make up anything. They can make anything into a gooey butter cake, and you know, that's our St. Louis signature food.
Mm. And I want to make sure that I get in something about the Peabody.
You know what? And we talked about culture a little earlier, but the Peabody, it's a great addition to the St. Louis scene here, the cultural scene here. The acoustics are wonderful. The decor is wonderful. They spent $74 million bringing that back to life. It was opened up in 1934 as the Kiel Auditorium. Saw some great talent come through there. It was also just a beautiful facility. And then for about two decades, it fell silent. And finally, someone came forward. They put in the money and said, this is worth saving. It's a treasure for St. Louis. Opening night was wonderful. We had Aretha Franklin, and I sang from the beginning to the end with Aretha Franklin. I don't know if she heard me, but I was back there, and I was singing.
I heard you.
Yeah. I loved it. Oh, my gosh. Acoustics were banging.
Yeah.
Jay Leno was funny, and I was laughing, and then the next day came, and I didn't have a voice. Oh, my God, I had such a great time. I love the Peabody. They had red carpet out. It was a first-class experience. And, you know, not just opening night. I just think all the other events that they have at the Peabody will be first-class. And I'm glad it's back in downtown St. Louis. And it will bring a different genre of talent to St. Louis.
Now, let me ask you a question. If people go to the CVB website, and which is what?
The CVB's website is explorestlouis.com, and that's where you can find information about hotels, restaurants, special events like things happening at the Peabody Opera House. And you know what? And sometimes I kind of mess. I keep wanting to say Peabody Hotel, you know, like down in Memphis, but I mean,
yeah.
It's the Peabody Opera House. And so you just go to explorestlouis.com, and everything you need to know about St. Louis is right at your fingertips.
So at the Opera House, I would imagine there's opera.
But no, but there's, I mean, there's opera. But you know, it's concerts. It's anything. Comedy shows. It's seats 3,500 people. So it's whatever artist is looking for that type of venue, they can perform there. If they want something larger, they can go to our wonderful Fox Theater and the Grand Center Arts and Entertainment District. If they want something smaller, how about the Sheldon? You know, if they want to hear a symphony perform, a visiting symphony, they will go to the Powell Symphony Hall where our St. Louis Symphony performs. And they're actually, I should say, they're the second oldest symphony in the United States, so they're well worth listening to. If they want to hear other opera, how about the Opera Theater in St. Louis? You know, we sing our operas in English here in St. Louis, and you can go there at Webster University and our Opera Theater in St. Louis, their season. You can find all about them online, explorestlouis.com, and then you can catch a show with Opera Theater St. Louis. So there's just plenty of opportunity downtown, midtown, and out in the county.
There's plenty of opportunity, huh?
God.
I'm sorry. I had to.
I wish I were witty like that.
Just the brain operates on that. It doesn't filter.
Yeah.
Listen, I've learned to be pretty good with the radio because it does filter. Yeah. But I would love to get it. Just like quickly, like name some of the places, the attractions that are in Forest Park.
Forest Park, you know what? That is our crown jewel of St. Louis. And you know, and I love it there. I love Forest Park. It has great energy. Forest Park is 1,300 acres. It's larger than Central Park in New York. And that's where you find a lot of our free attractions. And that's the big attraction in St. Louis, I should say. The St. Louis Science Center is free. St. Louis Art Museum is free. Missouri History Museum is free. And then we have the Muni Opera Theater, outdoor theater, which is free. And well, I should say it's ticketed, but they have like 1,500 tickets that are free on a first-come, first-served basis. So no matter your socioeconomic status, everyone is encouraged to enjoy St. Louis no matter what your circumstances are, and that's what we really love about this destination. So, and if you're looking for a picnic, Forest Park is a great place to do it. They have great gazebos that you can choose from. If you're into fitness, Forest Park has your walking paths, your bike paths, and it's just highly, highly used. On the weekend, it just seems like it's the heart of St. Louis because that's where everyone is drawn to, is Forest Park.
And I can understand. And you can even get a Segway tour.
You can get Segway tours at the St. Louis Science Center, which is beautiful because you go through Forest Park. It's docent led, so you can learn about all the things that people can do in Forest Park, and you can rent bikes in Forest Park. We have a visitor center in Forest Park where you can learn about. Oh, you can take walking tours at the Forest Park visitor center. You can go there and you can get like a podcast tour, and you can just walk through Forest Park and learn all about its history and all the history behind all the statues that you see in Forest Park. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a great experience.
And then there's also, I visited the hill, but I didn't get to, I just kind of passed through your, what they call the gayborhood.
The what is it? I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, the Grove, right?
The Grove, yes.
Yeah, the Grove. Yeah, that is actually, that's a vibrant area, and I am so glad that it's taking off in that area because for so long it also was silent, but the restaurants, the bars that are popping up in the Grove neighborhood, you know, it just adds, it gives us one more thing, you know, that we can attract people to St. Louis, and so everyone can enjoy something, you know, for them, you know, in St. Louis, and you can find it in the Grove, so. And not to mention, Sweetie Pies is not far from there, from the Grove. Sweetie Pies is a soul food restaurant in St. Louis owned by Robbie Montgomery. She was a former backup singer to Tina Turner, and now she has a wonderful restaurant in St. Louis called Sweetie Pies, and that's where people go, man, for the soul food. Let me tell you, it's so good. If I didn't have lunch right now, I'd be dying.
Put me on the list for next year that I want to go there.
Oh, you're going to love Sweetie Pie.
I don't get to have really good soul food around here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a difference. There's Southern soul food, and then there's soul food. And what's happened
Southern.
Is soul food is like, I don't want to go to a restaurant where you're making jerk chicken.
Right.
That's not something.
No.
You took it from someplace else. I want the real stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly. That's right. And I want it homemade. I don't want anything out of the freaking box. I want it all. Yeah, I want it homemade.
And I don't want a buffet style.
No. No. I want to leave there saying, oh, this is food my mom could cook.
That's okay.
You
and
know,
your mom was even there.
Yeah, my mommy.
That was so great to meet her, too. That was so wonderful.
No, she was glad to meet all you guys, too. She's, out of all the years I've been with the CVC, she's never met any of the people I work with, you know, and so she was happy to see you and see, you know, that you were enjoying St. Louis and just to get her out a little bit because, you know, she lives over in Illinois, so I got to bring her over here to Missouri to find the fun.
Oh, okay. That's right. So, well, I'm going to let you go because I know you got stuff to do.
Yeah, because we're in the World Series, Merle. We're in the World Series. Can you believe it?
For you. I'm not into baseball anymore. But for you, I watched it last night.
Thank you. But that was a great game, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was one of those, okay, all right, who's going to win?
I know. But it was a good game.
I hope it's St. Louis, so I hear you going,
yay! So I have something else to talk about besides the 1904 World's Fair.
Okay, so, I'll be in touch with you because I have to give you my address to send the
game. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'll get you a GUI.
And by the way, just to let you know that Tony from De Gregorio's has been sending me food. So I've been eating while I'm on the air.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
And while you're at it, make sure you send me those brownies, girlfriend, because I want those brownies.
Well, Suzanne was supposed to get them.
Oh.
Did she not get them yet? Okay, if she didn't get them, I'm going to get a hold of Fairy Tale Brownies and ask them to send brownies to you. How's that?
Thank you. I want to taste these brownies you say are heaven.
Oh, they are.
Because I need a little heaven in my life right now. It was nice talking with you, Merle.
Great, and thank you so much for sharing stuff, and I'm just waiting now. I guess I think we got the Fox Theater calling in.
Great.
And the City Museum.
Great. You're going to have fun.
Oh, yeah. All right. Have a great day, and I'll root for you guys.
Thank you. Go Red.
Go Birds.
Go Cards. All righty, dear.
Take care.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes. It's like I can't wait to return next year. I'm going to be there in June, actually to see if I can cover the Gay Pride Parade, which is really, to me, it's humorous that I'm going to bother doing that only because I don't even cover the ones that are here in New York City. Hey, it's an excuse to be in a different neighborhood, and it's an excuse to go back to St. Louis, and I know I'm going to have a fabulous time. So I'm going to, I'm going to break for, you know what I'm going to do? Nah. Let me break for some music. Where am I going to see? What's a good one here? Let's get a little Josh Groban. Yeah, Josh.
I've tried to hold this back so long, and we're always such a good thing when it's gone. Would it be alright if we just left our heads tonight? Take me away from this old game. much the same. Would it be alright if I just stayed with you tonight? And before I go, will I ever see you again? She said, love only knows. Love only knows if we'll give in to fear and choose life undercover. She said, love only knows if it's special enough, then we'll choose one another. You were the secret I love to keep. The name I would only sing in my sleep. Would it be alright if we just lose ourselves tonight? And if you let go, will you reach out again? She said, love only knows. Cover. She said, love only knows if it's special enough, then we'll choose one another. We'll choose each other. And I can't breathe without you, and I don't. And I can't live without love, and I won't, and I won't.
Convention and Visitors Bureau, and the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area. Funding was provided by the Illinois Office of Tourism and the Illinois Department of Transportation. Enjoy Alton's impactful stories as we take you back to a pivotal time in our nation's history. Lincoln-Douglas Debate. Friday, October 15th, 1858. Dawned cloudy and cool. Rain threatened. Thousands gathered in Alton to watch Honest Abe and the Little Giant tackle the issue of slavery. They walked, they came on horseback, in carriages and wagons, aboard trains, and on specially chartered packet boats. By noon, journalists, politicians, farmers, and city folk thronged Alton's noisy streets. Abraham Lincoln's entourage, his wife Mary Todd, and son Robert, were guests of the Franklin House on State Street. The debate began at 2 p.m. Stephen Douglas spoke first.
Gentlemen, I hold that this government was established on the white basis. It was established by white men for the benefit of white men and should be administered by white men and none other.
When the Little Giant finished, a Lincoln supporter shouted,
"Now let long legs come out."
As Lincoln rose to speak, a woman threw a bouquet of dahlias and roses at his feet. Frankie Long, a 13-year-old boy, observed,
"He don't amount to much."
Later, as Lincoln warmed to his subject, the boy changed his tune.
"His face glowed, and the muscles of his throat swelled up like whipcords."
Lincoln flat out denied that he was an abolitionist and argued that slavery is the eternal struggle between these two principles, right and wrong, throughout the world. Reports of the debate varied. Both speakers drew hecklers, hurrahs, applause, and laughter. But the audience favored Douglas. A New York Times correspondent wrote,
"If hurrahs, noise, and rowdyism can carry the day, Douglas will be reelected."
In the November election following the Alton debate, Stephen Douglas was returned to his senatorial seat. As soon as the senatorial election was over, Republican newspapers began calling for Abraham Lincoln to become the next president of the United States.
Okay. So, let's go. Next
Simeon Ryder, sea captain, adventurer, community leader, financier, and businessman. Simeon Ryder was all of these and more. He was husband, father, and friend to Abraham Lincoln. A native of Massachusetts, Ryder settled in Alton in 1834 with $50,000 on his ledger books.
"I ran away from my home in Cape Cod when I was just a lad of 15, and a few years later became a commander of a fast clipper ship. I remember once we were sailing from New York to Spain with a $100,000 cargo, and my vessel was attacked by pirates. Rumor had it that we were carrying gold, but these sea bandits failed to find any treasure. After 20 years, I gave up the sea and established a mercantile business in New York City. But it wasn't long before the wanderlust hit me again, and I headed west."
While a citizen of Alton, Simeon Ryder owned a successful freight forwarding business, was a wholesale liquor dealer, and operated stone warehouses near the waterfront.
"I'm proud to say that as a leader and businessman in this fine community, I served as an officer or director of the Alton Hotel Company, the Alton Shot and Lead Manufacturing Company, the Illinois Exporting Company, and the Alton Marine and Fire Insurance Company. I'm also an agent of the Kinnahoo Salt Company. Even after the panic of 1837, I managed to sell a fair amount of real estate. Like my friend and business associate Benjamin Godfrey, I married twice. First to the lovely Essa Nickerson, and after her sad passing, I married Ann Eliza Pettit, who survived me. Our beautiful daughter, Selina, married a successful civic leader and merchant, H.B. Bowman."
Ryder was a friend of Abraham Lincoln, who represented him several times on a variety of legal issues.
In 1840, Lincoln delivered a speech in support of William Henry Harrison on the third floor of the Ryder Building.
My friend Simeon Ryder was one of the first men in this area who understood the importance of rail transportation, and he became president of the Board of Commissioners of the Alton-Sangamon Railroad Company in 1847, when I signed for 2 shares of the company's stock.
The old sea captain Simeon Ryder died in 1877 and was interred in the Alton Cemetery. The Alton Telegraph eulogized him as a man distinguished for his energy, enterprise, business tact, and unconquerable determination that never rested short of success. Smallpox Island, Lincoln Shields near Duel. Sunflower Island, near the Missouri side of the Mississippi River, and at a safe distance from Alton's Mercantile Center, was the spot chosen for a hospital where contagious prisoners from the Alton Military Prison could be sent once the inadequate prison hospital was overflowing with the ill and the dying. Renamed Smallpox Island, and now submerged, few who were sent here for quarantine or cure ever returned from this final destination. 268 people died on the island. One lucky prisoner who lived to recount his stay here was Private DeWitt Clinton Thomas, a member of Willis's Texas Battalion.
I was captured in Tennessee and brought to Alton in November of 1863. That was a dreadfully cold winter. Why, we had to break the ice on the water barrels of a morning. I was taken ill shortly. 'Twas the pox, they said, so they marched me over the frozen river to Smallpox Island.
Private Thomas remained at the hospital on the island for about a month and recalls the horrors he witnessed.
Prisoners died around me every night. Bodies were taken out to be buried, but sometimes they lay covered in a tent till the ground thawed sufficiently to be dug. They buried them on the island.
Sunny days had turned the frozen Mississippi to slush when Private Thomas had to walk back across to the prison.
My feet and legs were soaked by the time I returned to prison, and I took sick a second time, though I didn't let on to the guards. Finally, they transferred me to the east, and blessedly, I was exchanged and allowed to return home.
The quarantine hospital remained in operation until March of 1865, at which time water flooded the island and caused the final evacuation. Some years before the onset of the Civil War and these deaths from contagious diseases among the prisoners, there was nearly another death on Sunflower Island in a shameful incident involving a future president and a prominent Union general. James Shields, later a Union general, took umbrage at letters insulting his looks as well as his honesty, which were being published in a Springfield paper. Editorials written under the pseudonym Rebecca from Lost Townships were being scribed by none other than Abraham Lincoln, who was assisted by his fiancée Mary Todd and her friend Julia Jane, who would later be Julia Trumbull. Lincoln told his friend to inform Shields that it was he alone who had crafted the letters to the editor, even though his 2 co-conspirators had crafted the last one entirely by themselves and was the straw that had broken the camel's back. Shields challenged Lincoln to a duel, an illegal activity in the state of Illinois. The men rowed across to the Missouri side of the Mississippi, where dueling had not yet been deemed against the law. As the challenged party, 6'4" tall Lincoln chose cavalry broadswords. The U.S. cavalry called them wrist breakers. One story alleges that the 5'3" tall Shields arrived to see Lincoln whacking at the willow branches high above the ground, and wisely recognizing the foolishness as well as the danger of the situation, agreed to settle the matter amicably. According to local lore, Lincoln couldn't resist turning the situation into one of his prized practical jokes. As the boats left the island, he lay down on the floor of one and covered himself with an oilcloth. large crowds of spectators awaited news of the duel on the Illinois side. Unable to see Lincoln, the crowd's suspicions turned to the rumors of his demise, until he sprang from the floor of the boat, much to everyone's relief. However, the next day's newspapers roundly criticized both Lincoln and Shields for their actions.
Our city was the theater of an unusual scene of excitement during the last week from the visit of two distinguished gentlemen. Both of them are lawyers. Both of them exercise no small influence, all of which aggravates their offense. Why should they be permitted to escape punishment while an obscure person for a much less offense is hurried to the county jail?
Many years later, it is said that President Lincoln later told a young soldier, after the young man had made a reference to the duel, that if he wished to remain a friend, he would never again mention it. Friends recount that it was the most shameful act he had ever participated in.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break for one of the sponsors, and then a little music.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra legroom.
Uh-huh. We have extra legroom as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay, if I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Well, I was waiting for the Fox Theater to be calling in. I don't know what happened with that, but what we did see at the Fox Theater was the Addams Family. Can compare to what I saw on Broadway, because I didn't see the show on Broadway as yet. But it was the traveling show. No, they called the the traveling Broadway. Broadway, I'll think about it in a minute. And which is usually just a cast that has the experience, many of them Broadway experience, but just not the a star name in the show. But I definitely enjoyed the whole everything about it. I like the sets, the acting on the whole, and people seem to be on key. So, and that's what they had at the Fox Theater. What I had wanted was someone to talk about some of the things that are coming up. A particular event having to do with the Titanic. But we'll see what happens. And because it's theater, let's do a couple of songs, one of which is from Hair, because I love it.
We start looking one another short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasy, listening for the new toll lies with supreme visions of lonely.
Okay, I'm going to stop this because who do I have on the line here?
This is Rick Irwin from the City Museum.
Oh, okay. Good. You called in a little early.
I can call back.
No. Actually, what happened is I was waiting for someone from Fox Theater to be calling in, and I didn't get that call. I'm thinking, oh, maybe the City Museum will call in earlier.
Well, maybe your good thoughts pushed us through.
Good. I'm great. So tell us about this is like the oddest museum I've come across. So explain.
Explaining. It's hard to explain in words. But the City Museum is the creation of Bob Castley. He's an artist. He was an artist and a sculptor. He recently passed away. Everything inside is from his thoughts, his mind, his vision, and it all stems from when he was a child. So we're an evolving sculpture that has two airplanes outside, two ball pits, a Ferris wheel on the roof, man-made caves on the inside, a 10-story spiral slide, a 5-story spiral slide, a circus, a world aquarium, Missouri's largest shoelace factory. It's a little bit of everything, all in one house.
Now, am I getting that it's like people were throwing things away and he said, give it to me?
No. Bob just had this ability to see multiple uses in things. So there's no functional fixedness. Our bathroom wall downstairs are serving pans from a cafeteria. And so he had about 1,200 of them. He turned them inside out and made this fantastic wall. He just found a way to reuse architectural elements. What else were we using recently? We've been using magnifying glasses, tile, and just put them together in this just one huge artistic sculpture.
And like I forgot that. Can you ride a Ferris wheel?
Yeah, it's a 1940 Eli Bridge Ferris wheel. We found it in a barn in Illinois. It originally sat down on the first floor on the parking lot, and then we've for about 10 years been trying to open up the roof, and we finally did it about 2.5 years ago. And so it sits on the 13th floor, and it's about 200 feet up. It gives you fantastic views of St. Louis.
I bet.
So the one thing it doesn't show you is the arch, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So and you still have to. So in other words, you still have to take an elevator to go farther up, as opposed to if you're on the roof where the bus was.
Yeah.
By the way, but so I want to tell people about the bus. This bus, it looks like it's going to fall
over
off.
The edge. Yes.
Yes.
Which you can actually walk out in, open the door, and look down over the edge of the building. And one other thing about that bus is it's on hydraulics. So if what we want, we can make it bounce up and down.
Oh, my God. What do you mean you can?
Literally, we can push a button, and it'll go up and down, up and down.
Now, wait a second. When you go inside of the bus, something else opens up? No.
Well, you can walk to the very front where the driver's seat is, and you can open the bus door and look out. We have a screen over it. So
oh, good.
Yeah, no.
I'm so glad.
No. I have climbed out on the front of the bus one time to hang a sign, but my wife Kaylee was not very happy with me once she found out.
Oh, God. I
I tried to tell her it wasn't me, but she could quickly see through my lie. But you can take the stairs to the roof, or you can walk through the center of the building, which this was an old international shoe distribution center, so it was a shoe warehouse. And so they got the shoes to the loading dock on the first floor by throwing them on this spiral shaft, which we turned into slides. So if you're on the roof, you can just jump on the 10-story spiral slide, and it'll take you all the way back down into the museum.
Wow. So, but the thing is, as far as where the Ferris wheel is, once you get on the roof where the bus is, Are you taking an elevator to that like second story?
You can take an elevator all the way up to the 13th floor. Yes, and
okay,
there are actually
stairs. Okay, so the
elevator
will take you right to the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you kind of like describe what things are there, like in certain areas, if you want to?
Sure.
Yeah.
Just,
go ahead.
Just on the outside of the museum is what we call monstrosity. Sorry about that. It houses two airplanes. It's four stories tall, about six slides, a castle, a fire pit in the wintertime, which you can roast marshmallows at, or a water pit in the summertime, a cabin inn, which you can have drinks at, a barbecue station. It's just like the world's largest jungle gym, four stories tall. And as you go inside the museum.
Now, this is even before you enter?
You see it as soon as you, yeah, on the outside.
Okay.
And as you walk through to the first floor was the original section of the museum. There's a life-size bowhead whale, which you can walk through, a giant aquarium, which right now we just acquired this 39-pound catfish that is swimming around it. It's impressive. There's a metal treehouse with a spiral slide. We even have slides that take you into our pump room below the building. We literally, Bob looked at every space within the museum, and he looked at negative, positive, neutral space. So if it wasn't being used, it was a negative space. And he wanted to give everybody the best value for their dollar. So we have it so you can even climb down underneath the museum in the old steam tunnel and look up at the people above you on the first floor. That enters you into our...
Which kids love to do.
Oh, they love it. Yeah. I actually had my first date with my wife here long before I even worked here because she thought I was going to be a stuck-up art guy. And she brought me here, and I fell in love with it. And luckily, I basically won the lottery to get the job here years later.
And what exactly, because we didn't get that, your position there?
Oh, I'm the director.
Oh, okay. Did we meet you? No.
I don't think so. I
know
when you guys came in, we set up the tour and everything.
Right.
I'm very excited to be able to talk to you.
It was like, and I have to explain, it's like the oddest, it's nothing you can really explain. It's almost like, first glance kind of thing is like somebody acquired all this junk.
Right.
And then took it and did something with it to make it functional and artistic.
Right. Like just in my office alone right now, I have buckets of bottles from before 1900. I have a giant U.S. mail letterbox, a vintage poster of Porgy and Bess, a gargoyle. And that's all stuff just sitting here trying to find places within the museum and how we would use it.
Wow. Now, because what I had heard was the guy who, you know, got this,
Bob, yeah.
Who acquired all these things was basically acquiring things, and that's why I have to call it the word junk. In other words, of things that somebody was going to get rid of, and I don't mean like they were going to put it out in the garbage. It was like no longer of use to wherever.
They would, yeah. There are architectural elements here. They're outside of like old buildings, the facades. Our gift shop is the facade of the old U.S. Title building, which was from 1918. You know, they had torn down the building for something else, and the facade was put in storage. So we raised it up here. We have a number of architectural elements that they were tearing around St. Louis that were saved by Bob and his friend Bruce Gary and then put within the museum. Bob was a huge fan of architecture and just art in general and wanted to find ways to save these, and he incorporated it into his own art.
Yeah, so that's why, as I said, it's sort of like somebody's junk is another man's dream, I guess.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. He loved to put two things together that didn't fit and see how they worked out.
Yeah. So tell me some of the other spaces, some of the other things. Wasn't there something with having to do with acrobatics? Somebody
sure, there's the Everyday Circus, which is located on our third floor. They're a nonprofit we support by space. They're not actually a part of us, but we believe in what they do. So we built them a giant circus space, and every day they perform, and Jessica Hintoff is their director. They travel to Israel. They travel all over the United States. It's kind of a social circus, so you have to do community projects to be in it. They're amazing, and they have
people in the circus from probably 6 up to like 87.
So they're performing there? I guess I missed the space where they perform. I think where I went to is where they were being taught, I guess.
Yeah, they also do classes and stuff. Yeah, that's their normal space that they do performances in. And that takes place. They do at least one performance every day when we're open.
Oh, okay.
On Saturdays and Sundays, they do two or three.
Oh, okay. So, and how, you said this is like 13 floors, huh?
Well, the museum is 1 through 4, basically. There's some other stuff, buildings and businesses above us. And then we kind of jump around them, and then we take back over on the 11th, 12th, and 13th floor.
Oh, that's why, in terms of, you have to sort of take 2 elevators, so to speak.
Yes, ma'am, yes.
Got it. I was going, well, gee, and that's a lot of floors of things to see. So there's, so you're talking about 4 floors and then another, I guess when you get to the top, you're talking about, I guess, 2 more, right?
Yeah, and then we have 2 floors in the middle that are just, we can call them our junk and stuff, so we kind of build with our storage rooms.
Oh, okay.
And then we have a 5th floor, which are luxury lofts that are built by the same, by Bob Cassily. And they're based on the same idea as the museum. He's taken these architectural elements, bottled walls, and built actual living spaces with them.
Wow. The whole place is like, it's not that it's say it's amazing, it's different. It's, you know, it's not like, oh, you know, let's go to the City Museum in New York and see what they have of their junk. And I have to, again, I have to use the word junk because they're not, nothing there is new. Am I correct?
Correct.
These are all things
rarely
that
have we
been...
ever purchase anything brand new to install it.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Do you find this ever any place else? Is this like one of a kind?
It's one of a kind. You know, we've been asked over and over again to build it in different locations. People offered Bob quite a bit of money to kind of come out and tell him how to do it. But this was it. Bob's heart was into this place. And he was actually working on another project north of us in North St. Louis and / Riverview called Cementland. Which is far from being completed.
Well, that would be interesting, I guess.
It was the world's largest cement factory that he purchased, and he was building castles and ponds and pyramids out there.
So when you say cement factory, it's cement versus a concrete place.
Correct.
Okay. I know that people, when they say they, you know, there's difference. Like people don't get there's a difference between concrete and cement.
And then, kind of, yeah, all of it. Yeah.
They use the word cement for even concrete.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So now, once you, I know that you, once you go in, there's a charge for the museum, correct?
There is. We're a private business. We're not funded by the state or any taxes. So we charge a fee of $12 per person, and then after 5 o'clock on Friday and Saturdays, it's $10, and we'll just run through our hours. Our hours, right now we're closed Mondays and Tuesdays. Wednesdays and Thursdays we're open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Friday and Saturdays, we're open from 9 a.m. in the morning to 1 a.m. in the morning, and then on Sunday, 11 to 5 p.m.
Now, I understand, I'm trying to remember, there's a part in the front that's only accessible if you go inside. Am I correct? In other words, you have to go into the museum first for access to the part that's the outdoor part?
Yes, yeah, monstrosity. Yeah.
Right.
Everything so is, you go through the front door, yeah.
So there's nothing that's outside that you could just, you know,
not just access. No, they used to do a separate charge for each of the areas, but it's actually cheaper when we cut all that out and just put it as one single charge.
Okay. And by the way, for people, there is a cafe. There is food.
There is. There's at least 3 of them within the place.
Oh, that's good. Well, it's good to know because, you know, the, all that wandering around and people want to have something to eat and or drink, you know. Well, that's really, it, you know, it's like so hard to kind of, this is one that you have to describe in photos, you know what I mean?
We had an advertising firm once try to make us a brochure, and we said, look, just photos, no words.
Yes.
Do it, and they put words all over it, and I ended up having to let them go. Yeah, it's so hard to describe. The idea with Bob was that he wanted to create a place that he liked music, because music, it would surround you, it would get inside you. So he wanted to build sculptures and art that people could touch and feel and get on, climb through, because it evokes different feelings. Also, he kind of saw it as a mirror ball. So the way you view the museum is different than the way I view the museum, but at times we overlap. So he really liked seeing our customers' photos when they would take them and they'd post them on our Facebook page or email them in, because it was a different view than he had.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So there isn't anything there that you're not allowed to touch? Everything is touched, is touchable? Basically,
I'm trying to think if there's anything I would tell you no, not to touch. No. Only in the World Aquarium, which is on the second floor. That's a private business also that we allow.
Okay.
But
in other
words,
don't
anything.
Stick your hand in there and pet the fish.
The sharks, yeah. But they do allow you to pet stingrays, and they have some smaller sharks that you can pet. They actually hold the world's largest, they held the world's largest collection of two-headed animals.
Really?
Yeah, they have a two-headed snake in there, a two-headed turtle. There's a lot of Guinness Book of World Records happening at the museum. We have the Guinness Book of World Records largest pencil on our third floor. It's 76 feet long, 21,000 pounds. Just later this month, on the 30th, I have a floor staff member, Travis Morgan, who's going to try to set the Guinness Book of World Records longest Ferris wheel ride. He's going for at least 35 hours, he says.
Well, and when is he going to do this?
It's going to be October 30th.
You know, you're going to have to get back with me on this.
Let you know how it goes?
Yeah, to let me know how it goes, because then I'm going to be, at some point, when I catch up to everything, I'm going to be writing about St. Louis, I'm sorry.
He's going to do this really neat thing. His band is putting out a CD at the same time, or a record. And so while he's trying to break the Guinness Book of World Records, he's actually going to be playing his bass on the Ferris wheel as it happens. So he'll play a set with his band. So it's called Making and Breaking Records.
Will the band also be on the Ferris wheel?
They haven't decided yet. they're still trying to work that out, because it's a lot of, you know, making sure the wires don't get crossed and tangled.
Oh, sure. That's a weird. Okay,
Well,
we're cool.
Another great word to describe us. I mean, we're just not your average place.
Yeah, that's what I like. You know, when you go to some place and it's not like, it's like in New York. You know, when you come to visit New York, it's like people go to Manhattan and that's all they see.
Yeah.
And then I tell people, you know, like, well, if you want to see some more uniqueness to it, you have to go out of Manhattan.
Right.
To see, you know. It's like, there you have great botanical gardens there.
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah.
And in each of the boroughs in New York City, there is a botanical garden. But if you want to see the botanical gardens, you have to go to the Bronx Botanical Gardens. That's like the huge place, you know. So it has its uniqueness. But this is the City Museum, which I'm surprised it's called the City Museum, because I expected.
Yeah, it definitely conjures a different view than what you're expecting. You know, we have Bob built Hippopotamus Park in Central Park, New York,
yeah,
in 1997. So there's a number of his sculptures over there. There's these beautiful hippos built of fiberglass that are still there.
Really? So it's not he. He actually, not just putting together the called the used stuff, like the junk, as I'll call it. He also did he do anything from scratch, like when he's building something, or it's taking something that even that what's in Central Park? Was that something that was also used?
Yeah, he was a classically trained artist by a guy named Rudy Torini. Amazing story about Bob that has just kind of started to come out again is in 1972, Laszlo Toth attacked the Pietà in the Vatican with a hammer, and Bob is the guy that pulled him off the Pietà and saved Michelangelo's sculpture that day. So that's just an odd story about Bob because it just kind of explains how he is. But no, he worked all over the world, and there's a lot of stuff. I'm trying to think of what. There's a mastodon in the Brooklyn Public Park, which is carved concrete. Outside Dallas, there's a giant giraffe sculpture that he built. Around St. Louis, there's Turtle Park. There's just a number of his actual own projects around the country.
That's great. Well, I guess without photos, there's nothing more to describe.
It's just so hard to do. I agree.
Yeah, it is. I hope I took I took as many photos as I could. I think there were some areas that it was like a little too. The lighting wasn't the greatest, or it doesn't really like come out in a photo for you to really get it, kind of thing. That's it needs somebody to do like a whole like a slideshow, and you're looking at like one piece from different angles.
Right.
And we're
kind of working on something like that. And, of course, if you need any photos, you let me know.
Yeah, I certainly will. Well, I so appreciate your coming on to talk with us about this.
Thank you so much for having us.
Because I know, St. Louis has, as we said before, has just so much to offer. And some things that are unique in itself to going to any other city. So,
sure. Thank you so much.
Well, have a great day.
You too.
And let me know about the.
I will. The Ferris wheel.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Ro.
Thanks. Bye bye. Well, I'm glad that he called in a little early. I don't know what happened with Fox, but. So I'm going to end the show a little early then. So to everybody, have a great day, evening. I will be doing some more on this at a later point, I guess after I get back from going to St. Paul and Minneapolis. And I still have to do a lot of writing. Well, have a great day, evening, afternoon, sunny, however it is by you. Just have a good time. That's all.